Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, February the 22nd, and welcome to our commentary. We're going to talk a little bit today about Governor DeSantis, who is campaigning. I think he's campaigning for president, not official, but he's certainly campaigning in a very effective way. He's doing something very smart. So we're going to be talking about him in just a second. Before we do, I have a post over at the American Thinker about the president of Mexico. You may want to check this out. The president of Mexico is the temporary president of something called the Pacific Alliance, and they rotate between countries as to who is the president in turn. The Pacific Alliance is an economic group made up of Latin American countries on the Pacific, you know, like Chile, Peru, Mexico, and some of the others, Colombia. And he is basically the acting president. They rotate it. It's an honorary position, but they rotate it among the presidents. And the next president in line is the president of Peru. But the president of Mexico is refusing to give up the position because he's not happy with what happened in Peru. As you may remember, in Peru, the president was impeached and then replaced by the vice president. And apparently the man who was impeached and replaced is a ideological soulmate, if you will, of the president of Mexico. And it's a really stupid thing. I think the president of Mexico needs to put aside his own ego and just let the organization function the way it was designed to function. And I'm hoping that he will, because I think he is basically an ideological war with the new president of Peru. It's a very stupid thing. I don't really quite understand it. But that's the situation. So we're hoping that the president of Mexico accepts the fact that he's supposed to give up that seat to the new president of Peru, and simply accepts the fact that the presidential change in Peru happened completely within the constitution of Peru. He may not like the change, but it happened within the rules of the country of Peru. So check out the post. It's over at the American Thinker today, Wednesday morning. You can see it at the American Thinker, or you can read about it in my blog, wherever you follow my writings. This is an amazing thing I want to talk about. President Trump, former President Trump, was in Ohio today. He went to Ohio to touch and see the people in that part of the country recently hit by the rail derailment. I mean, it's been a terrible tragedy, costly and very difficult for the people there. And here's President Trump visiting. And where's President Biden? He's in Ukraine or in Poland. Now, again, I don't criticize him for going to Ukraine or Poland. Those are important responsibilities of the president. But how did he miss going to Ohio last week? Should have been there last week. I mean, we understand that the president doesn't have any magic solutions or silver or magical bullet or silver bullet to deal with these crises. But the fact that he goes, and touches people and salutes people is very important for the people who live in those communities. But he's not there. He's not there. But President Trump is there. I don't know who's the public relations or who's thinking this stuff over at the White House. The same for the Secretary of Transportation. Where are these people? They should be there. The Vice President, they should be there at these places, you know, touching and hugging people the way presidents do at times like these. So, man, it's incredible. If you saw the video, it's going around, of President Trump. I mean, you see the people chanting and saluting President Trump. It's absolutely incredible. It's incredible because It's the absence of President Biden that makes it incredible. It's just something I've never seen anything like this before. But this administration is tone deaf. I just don't know how else to say it. They're absolutely tone deaf. The Secretary of Transportation is tone deaf. He says he's going to get there when it's proper for him to get there. But when is that going to be? Should have been there a week ago. Should have been there a week ago when this situation, not when it happened, but when it was developing. So what an absolute, again, tone deaf. That's what this administration is. Well, let's talk about Governor DeSantis. You know, there's a lot of speculation as to whether or not he's going to run for president. We don't know. My guess is yes. And I think if he ran, he would be a very good candidate. But nobody knows. Nobody knows for sure. But Governor DeSantis is doing something very smart. He's going around the country. He's going into Democrat cities like New York, Chicago, and he's talking about crime. And he's talking about what he's doing in Florida to help the police and to battle crime. And this is really a smart thing by Governor DeSantis to actually go out there and tell these communities, look, this is what we're doing in Florida. And this is why our crime problem is not what it is in Chicago and New York and so on. And, you know, in a way, you know, he's also saying this is why you people are moving to Florida, because, you know, we've tackled the crime problem. You know, we're dealing with the crime problem, not by exempting the police from good behavior. No. We're supporting the police. And yes, if a police officer gets out, you know, does something wrong, fine. We deal with that. But we're supporting the police. We back the blue, as they say. And he's got the people in Chicago and in New York, you know, the politicians in those areas really, you know, they're out of whack because they don't know how to deal with it. They just don't know how to deal with the fact that Governor DeSantis is going into their home field and basically telling them everything that they're doing wrong, everything that they're doing wrong by pointing out what they're doing right in Florida. It's a brilliant move. It's a brilliant move by Governor DeSantis. Again, I don't know if this is part of the presidential campaign. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. We don't know. But even if it's not, I think it's a brilliant move by Governor DeSantis to go into these cities and talk about all the problems they're having and, in a sense, explaining to them indirectly why so many people from New York are moving to Florida. They're moving to Florida not just because of the taxes. They're moving down there also because of the quality of life and because of the crime problem. There's a very interesting case right now before the Supreme Court, and has to do with social media and this Regulation 230 that has existed since social media was created almost 25 years ago. Look, things are a lot different now than they were 25 years ago, and I think there has to be some accountability for social media. Unfortunately, Twitter became very politicized in the 2020 campaign, holding back the New York Post article about Hunter Biden. And I'm not sure about Facebook, but the same thing. I mean, these social media companies were clearly to the left of the country, and that's not what they should be doing. They should be what they were supposed to be, a place where people would put opinions, and if you don't like the opinion, you don't have to follow it. You know, you can delete the contact. You don't have to follow it. You simply put your opinion and let somebody else put their opinion and leave it at that. But social media decided to, you know, get in there and play with the politics, and I think that was a huge mistake, as we saw with Twitter and the 2020 election. There is apparently going to be some videos of January 6th that will be released. I believe that some videos were given to Tucker Carlson of Fox News. I have no idea what the videos are going to show, but I would like to see the videos. I always felt that there was something very bad happened on January the 6th, as we all know. Nobody supported what happened that day. But I also think the coverage of January the 6th was very much one-sided. And I believe that the Capitol should have been protected. I believe that there should have been more police protection, the National Guard if necessary, And that did not happen. So as a consequence, people got out of control and they walked in. And I don't defend the people who walked in and did something stupid. But at the same time, the Capitol should have been protected. There's also a lot of stuff going around about what actually happened. And I think these videos hopefully will clear that up. I'm not suggesting conspiracies, but I would like to see what in fact did happen. You know, there is speculation that, excuse me, the police basically let the people in. There's speculation about that. I cannot prove it, but I'd love to see the videos and see if that's true. So I think these videos are going to add, I think, more balance to the whole thing that happened that day. And we will see. We will see. But I'm all in favor of releasing everything that can be released about that terrible day when, unfortunately, a bunch of people went in and did some stupid things and they were arrested. And I have no problem with these people being arrested for what they did. But they need to, we need to see the whole thing. And hopefully that's what's going to happen now that these videos are released. Well, today we remember a couple of big things. Obviously, this is George Washington's birthday, President George Washington's birthday. He was born on this day in 1732. And of course, went on to become the first president of the United States, the father of the country, one of the great historical figures of all time. He passed away in 1799. And, you know, when we were growing up, we would actually celebrate Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday as two different dates, Lincoln the 12th and Washington the 22nd. We don't do that anymore. Now we celebrate President's Day. But for many of us, we still remember George Washington, and he should be remembered. He was one of the great men in world history. We also celebrate something that happened in 1980. Maybe some of you remember this. Many of us celebrated George Washington's birthday in 1980, seeing the American team beat the Soviet team in the Olympic hockey competitions. It was it was an incredible day because the Soviet team at that time was the greatest team in the world. The American team was just a bunch of college kids who were put together to participate. It was a mismatch on paper, but the young Americans did an amazing job and they defeated the so-called USSR. Those were the days of the Soviet Union. And they won a great game. They played a great game. And if you remember watching that game, then you'll never forget it. You'll never forget it. For me, it was the first time that I had actually ever watched a hockey game because, you know, I just had no interest in hockey. And I still think it's the greatest hockey game for me ever played. I'm sure that some hockey experts watching will point to another game. But for me, it was the greatest hockey game ever played because of what it meant, just across the board, not just the U.S. beating the USSR. But if you remember at that time, it was a rough time politically for the United States in February of 1980. And this game really brought everybody together, the great sense of patriotism that day. So we remember today the game that came to be known as Miracle on Ice. Miracle on Ice, the great hockey game of the 1980 Winter Olympics. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you the next time. Bye-bye, everybody.